Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you on this Wednesday edition of Flames Talk. It's Wednesday, June 4th, and we're just over 3 weeks away from the 2025 NHL Draft. And we're smack dab right in the middle of NHL Scouting Combine Week in Buffalo, New York. And that's where we head right now down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. And we're joined from the NHL Scouting Combine by Calgary Flames Director of Amateur Scouting. Friend of the program, Todd Button, is with us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Todd, appreciate the time, my friend. How are we doing today?
We're doing well, Pat. How are you and Aaron doing?
Doing well. Good to hear from you. And how are things going in Buffalo?
Oh, they're great. I love this. Is a really it's unique part of the season for us, but it's really informative, and it really is neat to get to meet these kids off the ice for even as informal interviews as these are, and watch them and get to speak with them a little bit.
So, I guess from a bigger picture view, why is this week in Buffalo always such an important time of the year for you and your group?
It's because it's a piece of the puzzle, and it's a piece of the puzzle that we do a lot of background. Our scouts do a lot of background information on in terms of talking to coaches and educational assistants and strength coaches to gather information so we can put that in our mental performance coach Matt Brown's area of expertise, which is to, you know, get to the personality behind some of these kids. It's one thing to watch them on the ice and see them, you know, score goals or make hits or whatever the case may be. But it's another, you know, there's a person behind these guys. So we want to get all the parts of that. So this part with the interviews, and it goes on. It starts at the start of the year, and Matt Brown has a FaceTime before we even get here. And then we get to actually meet with them in person, and that part's important. And then obviously the physical testing is another part, so we can get a baseline on where the kids are in their physical maturity. And, you know, the guys we end up drafting will have a baseline on that we can start building their individual programs so they can gain the necessary skills, balance, strength, whatever the case may be that they need in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years before we hope they're cracking the NHL lineup.
Todd, what's the what's the breakdown of when you go to this event? You're there for a week. They do the physical testing, and that's the stuff that we'll all see on the outside. That's what the visuals will be. But for you and your group, is the physical side of thing like 10% of what's important while you're there compared to the interviews? I'm just curious as to the weighting you put on the interviewing and getting to meet these players in person compared to the physical measurable testing stuff.
Yeah, it's all equal. It's okay. Completely equal. It's a piece of the puzzle. The mental performance part is a piece of the puzzle. The physical testing is a piece of the puzzle. The player evaluations during the year is a piece of the puzzle. The analytics is a piece of the puzzle. The skating evaluations that we do with Daniel Fajita does is a piece of the puzzle. So I don't put any more importance on any of it than the other. It's just. At the end of the day, it adds up to our final player profile, if you will, that allows us to hopefully rank the players in a really good order. And then, you know, we select off of that list.
Todd, a philosophical question for you when it comes to the fitness testing portion. Would you rather see a prospect who blows the doors off of the physical testing or one that maybe struggles a bit? And I ask this with the thought of guys that usually blow everyone away are near the end of their runway in terms of physical development, at least at that stage of their physical peak. One that struggles technically has potential to grow. So would you rather see a guy that is phenomenal or a guy that shows a little bit of wiggle room for improvement?
It's a good question. So, and I'm going to skirt the question because seriously, my answer would be, I want to see where they are right now in their development. And like you said, some guys are more physically mature and some guys are more advanced and some guys are less. And that's not I don't want to take that as a negative that a guy's more physically mature and that he's done more work or he's been training at a different level than other guys. And at the same time, like you said, some guys aren't exposed to training at younger ages. Some guys have injuries. So every person is unique in that. That's why we give it to Rick Davis and his crew. And Rick has been phenomenal. Like Rick says, you give me the guys to train. I want to come here and give you what I think they need the most. And then when they get to our development camp, the guys we draft, and he continues that process. So there's not a right answer, but I think what you're saying is right. There are guys in different areas and we don't treat them all the same. Everybody's different. And, you know, tomorrow night, Sam Bennett's going to play, or tonight, actually, it is. He's going to play in the playoffs, and there was a big hoopla about him not being able to do it.
That's what I was thinking about when I asked the question, Todd.
So I understand the premise behind your question, and it's a valid question, but I think we try and treat it like everybody's individual, and we've got to get an individual picture on where they are and what steps they need to get to the next level, what steps they need to be NHL, like pro-ready and NHL ready, and then all the testing we do at development camp, again, it's a baseline to what they need to work on. Some guys are more flexible. Some guys are stronger. Some guys are quicker. Some guys are more agile. So we want to put that all together and build an individual plan. Like it's an individual plan for each one of these players. And Rick will have all this background information. And we take information from their junior coaches, college coaches, you know, if it's Hockey Canada or the USA Hockey that we get testing done. And we put that all piece. And each individual has their own piece of the puzzle. And it's up to our development, our strength and conditioning crew to build them up from here. So I hope that answers the question, even though, like, there's not one that's better than the other.
Yeah, it was a real answer, and I wasn't actually expecting for you to say one other than the other because it is such an individual case basis, and there are positives and negatives to each side. Now, on the interview side of things, you've been around a while. How has the process changed over the course of the last decade with how polished and ready some of these kids are?
I think, in general, this generation is way more worldly. They're exposed to way more things because the internet and social media, and even like if you ask a guy his favorite team, like, yeah, for sure, if you're in Toronto, you're usually a Leaf fan. If you're in Calgary, you're Flames fans. But these guys are exposed to all the best players in the world through YouTube and video and stuff. So they know a lot more about individual players than even 15, 20 years ago that just you liked your own team and you know those players. So and I think with all that, being able to access so much information, they are so smart. And so like it really is incredible how worldly these guys are. And now you get guys speaking 2 and 3 languages, and you see that a lot with the Europeans where they speak in 3 languages, you know, they're just impressive. And I think part of this is, you know, their agents too, like before we even get to this process, they go through this with junior and with colleges and, you know, entrance exams into universities or colleges. So I think they get trained at a younger age to articulate how they feel. And it's really is incredible the training that they get, but it's natural too. They're not robotic in their answers. Like they're thoughtful and like I said, articulate. And that's why I think I love the process, is every year you come and you get so many different answers to questions, and we don't even have stock questions anymore. Matt Brown, he develops the whole thing and he drives it. So it's really is neat to get their perspective. Cause a lot of it, I know they get a lot of the same questions in general, but they also get a lot of questions where they have to think, and you can tell when a kid is putting some thought into it. And I think, like I said, now, like you said, last 10 years, it is really amazing to watch these kids, at this age, at 17 or 18, they're in rooms, they're talking to guys that hopefully are, you know, their future GMs, and they're going to play in the NHL. So to articulate that in a group of adults, and you're only 17 or 18, it's pretty impressive from my point of view.
So there's still a lot of value in the interview process, even though they've gone through this intensive media training, and you know, sometimes they'll have the answers already, you know, back of mind when they're asked certain questions. As you mentioned, there'll be some questions that overlap between the Flames and other organizations. Just because they're polished doesn't mean that you don't learn something from these interactions.
Right. And I think that's where Matt Brown comes in, because he gets to the personal side. He gets to the family side. He gets to the part where where did they get to where they are today, their schooling or in their hockey or what life journeys. A lot of, you know, kids face adversity, you know, deaths of grandparents or kids or whatever. They face struggles, a divorce or whatever. So Matt does a great job of getting to that personal on that personal level with them and making them feel comfortable, and you get more information from them, and you find out guys like guys that were classical pianists when they were 13, or you know, guys that were born in China and grew up in Massachusetts. Like, it's just really neat, guys. You get, find information you didn't know, and I think kids in general, people. I mean, for sure, there's introverts here, and it's harder for them, but Brownie does a great job of getting them to tell their story, and I think a lot of these kids like to tell their story.
We're chatting with Todd Button, Flames Director of Amateur Scouting, joining, I don't know why I said scouting. Director of Amateur, makes it sound like your job's easy when I do that. We're chatting with Todd Button, Flames Director of Amateur Scouting, joining us here on Flames Talk on this Wednesday. So Todd, and you did a really good job. Like this whole part is fascinating to me. So take us into, you've got your suite and you've got your group, and prospect X comes in and sits down with your group. So Matt Brown is leading the interview process. Like, just take what is you as the director of amateur scouting, what are you listening for? What are some of the key things that you're kind of taking note of as an interview is going on?
Well, they come in, and what we basically do is we have our crossover scouts in here. So the guy that's most responsible for the player maybe is in his area or in Europe or whatever. Like, they all started off with just the general, like, we want to hear what the kids think of the game. Like, we know we have our evaluation. So we started out with the hockey side, and that's where they get some of the same questions. Where do you think you are? What kind of player do you think you're going to be? Those types of generic questions. And then once we get a feel for that, there's some give and take or questions. What happened in this game? Were you hurt here? Like, little things like that. And it's prepared, because you only have 20 minutes with each kid, right?
Okay.
And then after that 8 or 10 minutes, Brownie gets into it. And it again, it's about your family. Did you play any other sports? Yeah, my sister's a NCAA volleyballer. There's a kid, truth, like his brother's a fencer. He's a national level fencer from Sweden, and he's at Ohio State. So those things are really neat. Huh. It's not like I feel like I know the players on the ice. I have my evaluation picture in my mind. So you just want to, again, you want to get to know the person a little bit. But isn't that, like, that's one of the things, those are the things you learn. And Brownie knows it, but he gets them to bring it out. And this kid was so proud of his brother and everything, because it's not common you hear that, right? So for me, listening, I'm not trying to evaluate the kid, because I read a lot of what Brownie puts us all in our database, so I can read it all ahead of time. It's just the enthusiasm for what they're doing and going through. So it's not as much an evaluation process for me listening to their answers, but there are points where it might trigger something. I'll write it down. Like, I got to follow up on this. Maybe it was something he said about an injury or a teammate or a point in the season. There was a kid who he struggled early in the playoffs, and we found out today he was playing with he was sick. He was sick, but he played through it. So for me, I write that down. So now I go back and check all the game reports from that and say, okay, that makes sense. Well, of course we didn't have high ratings on him. He was sick this game. So that's what I kind of listen for, things I can follow up on or things right that need further attention.
So do you, are the days of, like, the really odd questions? Like, because we always used to hear that, like, players would come out of these things and be like, yeah, they asked me, like, what my spirit animal is, and you're like, are those days beyond? Like, is it do you have a? It's pretty scientific at this point, I would imagine.
Well, you know what? I can't speak for any other team except mine, so I know how we operate. I'm not going to say there aren't any questions like that. I think when Brownie came in, we streamlined the process, and we've gotten way better at it, especially the background. And that's been, again, that since he's gotten here, we've tried to make it better, improve it. And I think, again, I call him the driver of this whole interview process and the background and the intel. So for us, we don't ask any of those questions. I mean, there are some jokes told sometimes, but it's more based on, like, the kid telling us something and then something funny happens or whatever. But no, we don't ask any of the are you afraid of clowns or something like that. Like, no, that's not what we do. And I'm not criticizing teams that have their questions. I don't know how they approach it. I'm just saying this is how we operate.
Yeah. How much in years past, and without giving away proprietary things for this year, but just generally, how much have you seen your list, Todd, change from the first week of June when you go through the scouting combine? Like, how much can this change your list, your final list that you go into the draft with? In years past, do we see a lot of players moving up and down based on what happens at the combine?
Not for us, not very much. I mean, there might be a tweak, but again, it's based on let's follow up on this. Let's follow up on his skating or something he said about something and do the evaluation. But it doesn't change a lot. And the other part about what Matt Brown does is part of his process in getting the kid, talking to the kids, is you want to know how they learn and what's the best type of way to coach a kid. So that might be, you know, like some kids are like, I don't care, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Some kids, you know, I prefer a pat on the back rather than you know, a kick in the butt. But if you kick me in the butt, I'll still perform. So, and then learning, like what's the best way for a guy to learn? We know there's video and listening and watching, like there's so many different things. So Brownie does a really good job, and then he can transfer that to the coaches, starting with, you know, the American League coaches and say, this, if you do this, you might lose the kid for a bit. So this is the best approach. And, so I think there's a lot of value in that, in getting that learning profile and how they best learn, and you know, things that might set them back a little bit or push them ahead. Like he's the expert in that area, and I think that's the big part of it too.
This will be a little bit more big picture philosophical, but when you're putting together your list, combine aside, how much do you weigh a performance at the Hlinka versus a regular season game in December versus what you saw at the U18s, for example, in April?
Yeah, so we look at it, every game, every evaluation is a different data point. And if you, you know, like if you're watching the link and you watch the U.S. kids, generally, well, they've changed a little bit, but there was a month where they weren't on the ice between, you know, their tryouts and the tournament. And some kids are on the ice. In Sweden, it's hard to get ice in the summer. So the kids that are around rinks, they have a bit better advantage. So, again, we use it. There's certain things you, like, again, we talked about injuries. So not, like, everything's a data point. But for sure, when you watch, you want to watch them in high-pressure situations. And if a kid fails in a high-pressure situation, it doesn't mean he's a failure. It just means that's probably a good learning point for him. So that might lead to the question, did you learn anything about yourself? Yeah, I was too amped up before the game, or I got too excited. So there's all kinds of different learning points from every game you watch, from shifts, from a team that gets blown out, from, you know, you watch kids play three games and 48, they play Friday, Saturday, Sunday at two, you know, in the Western Hockey League, there's more travel. So if we took a 7-day window or a 10-day window on every kid, like, kids, the top players, even in the NHL, they're consistent game to game. That's why they're the best players. And as you go down less, there's more inconsistency. So we're trying to figure out the reasons for that inconsistency and whether they can iron it out and be, you know, 70-30 more consistent or 80-20. And that's a big part of the scouting process, is to iron all that out.
Do I even dare ask how many single game reports are in your database?
Huh. You can. Like, I don't know the number, but it's a lot. It's over 1,000 for sure. and our area guys like might have more. And again, now we have the advent in the, mostly since COVID, now we've got video.
Right.
So you can double check video. And yeah, I'm not saying you watch full games, but you, for sure you'll go back and watch three or four shifts, or especially early in the year. Sometimes you got like five guys on a team that are, you know, might be top 40 picks. So you want to make sure tournaments, you know, you watch the under 18s, you say, okay, I didn't watch him closely enough, I'll go watch his shifts from that game. So I think the amount of game individual reports isn't as important as doing quality work on each individual.
We're just shy of 3 weeks out now. When you leave Buffalo, how close to done will your group's list be?
Because of the format, this year's draft being in the city and not going to another city, so we're going to Calgary. We're going to be pretty close. A couple of years ago, we were forced to do our meetings after the combine, and usually when you do them in May, you come out with okay, we got to check on this and the interview process, and we still need the physical testing. So to back up on one of your questions, like how much is important? This is important. So the list is not going to change by a lot, but when we go to Calgary in late June, we're going to have full boat of information, and we have our list right now. So I'm not going to say it's going to change a lot, but you know, we put guys in more in groups than we did in individual slots. So now we got to go there and sort within those groups out those ratings, because you know, we can't have horizontal lists. We can have we got to rank them. So that's what the process will be in Calgary. But to answer your question, we're pretty close to done as far as the individual profiles are in that evaluation. Now it's just to sort them out.
Okay, so Todd, just a few more with Todd Button, Director of Amateur Scouting for the Flames. How many more interviews do you do this week? Because we get into the fitness testing and those things towards the weekend. Like, is it pretty much full days throughout the entire combine week where you're just in the suite talking to players?
Yeah. So we went 9 to 6 Monday, 9 to 6 Tuesday, 9 to 6 Wednesday, 9 to 6 tomorrow. And then because of the testing, we finish at noon on Friday.
Okay.
And there's a couple of times where we have a 20-minute gap. We have an hour gap, 45 minutes, sorry, for lunch each day. So there are those gaps, but for sure there's it's a lot. And Obviously there were years when I talked to you guys when we didn't have a lot of picks and it was a lot less. But when you have a lot of picks, you got to make sure you have all the players. Like the year we took Pospisil in the fourth round, maybe we didn't do as many here, but you know, when you're not picking until the hundreds, it's hard to do a lot of these kids. But that's why I like it, because I know we have picks, and then you know they're full days, but they're valuable to us.
And so what now for you? You finish this, and combine finishes on the weekend. Do you stay home in Ontario for a little bit, or do you make your way to Calgary pretty quickly after you're done at the combine?
No, I'll be home. I'll dot the I's, cross the T's. There's a couple of players I need to watch on video. There's situations I need to watch on video that our scouts will apprise me of. And then there's a couple camps. Wasserman has a camp in Toronto for all their draft eligibles next week. And then I go to Florida. Gold Star Hockey has theirs, which again is valuable because they bring some of the kids we haven't seen, except for Dennis Grabeshkov, our Russian scout, we haven't seen live. So I'll head down there for just a couple days with our goalie coach, Department of Goaltending head Jordan Siglett, and we'll watch some of those guys.
Okay, sounds like you've got a busy month of June ahead, which is as you'd expect for a director of amateur scouting in draft month. We'll let you go. We'll see you in Calgary when you get here a little bit later on this month, Todd. But thanks for the insight. That was really good. Always cool to learn about what goes on at the scouting combine. So thanks for doing this today, and good luck with the rest of the week in Buffalo. Hey.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
You know it. Thanks, Todd. Todd Button is the Director of Amateur Scouting for the Calgary Flames from the NHL Scouting Combine in Buffalo, New York. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.